Talking today with Roy Lee Lindsay of the Oklahoma Pork Council. Roy Lee, let's talk about several things. Maybe first of all, the pork export numbers are out. Just a few days, USMEF and USDA, looking at them on a month-by-month basis. We've got all of 2016 now in the books, record year for pork exports.
Yeah, it is. And I think when we started 16, we were really concerned about would we get to previous year's exports, much less would we exceed them and possibly get to a record. And so to close out the year with record exports was a tremendous boon for us. I don't think anyone expected that. So I don't even think anyone expected that in June. I think we were still talking about we were hoping exports would come along and carry us. But with more pigs coming, with an increase in supply, with lower prices, all of that, if we had not had record exports, we'd have really had a bad economic situation where we were. And the added demand from exports helped us hold prices up and made it where instead of losing money on every pig that was sold, we're still kind of in that break-even range. And that's a whole lot better than what some of the losses were projected, you know, 4 or 5 months ago.
Now, you alluded to the fact that we've seen in the recent hog and pigs reports, we've seen that ramping up of production, including our baby pig production here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, we've got new processing plants coming online this summer. We've got a couple that'll be online, one in Iowa and one in Michigan, and then another plant coming on next year in Iowa as well, and then some smaller plants around. And we're going to add, you know, when those plants come on, you're going to add 5 to 7 million head of additional processing initially. And then when they double shift, I think we're going to add, you know, almost 10% to what our capacity is. So when you start to build a plant like that, you begin the work on producing the pigs to go with it because you want the two things to coincide a little bit. You don't want a plant sitting idle because you don't have pigs to put in it. And so we've got lots of pigs coming this spring. The numbers are coming up. The last hog and pig crop report showed quite a bit more hogs and pigs than analysts were expecting. And I think that's all attributable to these new plants that are coming online. And the goal with that, I think, for the most part, is to export that product. So you're at 25% of your product being exported today. What's that number got to look like in the future if we're going to add new animals, we're going to add new capacity in terms of processing? How much more do we need to export to be able to carry that? And I think that's the question that we're all trying to figure out what the answer is.
When you think about where we are in production in our part of the world, it seems like that we have, you know, we've talked about this before as far as that we've made some changes in how we produce pigs in Oklahoma. Are we pretty stable right now as far as where we are in the overall hog industry in the state?
Well, we're still going to see some revisions, I think, Ron, in terms of types of farms that are here. We're seeing a growth, I think, in the breeding herd. And that growth is generally attributable to taking market hog locations, finish locations, and converting them into sow farms. And we'll ship baby pigs up into the Midwest because it's cheaper to ship baby pigs to corn than it is corn to baby pigs, if you will. There's a floor in there. We have to maintain a certain number of market hogs to be able to fill the plant out at Guymon. And so there's a bottom, if you will. We're not ever going to do away with market hogs altogether just because we've got the plant in Guymon that's one of the most modern in the country that we need to support and will continue to have to provide pigs for. But those pigs that were being finished here and then shipped to processing in the Midwest, I think it's very likely that over time you'll see those farms converted into sows and you'll see those pigs moved to the Midwest instead of the market hogs moved.
Have we seen most of these operations that are sow operations, have they been making gradually that move over to the group housing concept?
Some are and some aren't. You know, when we talk about housing and what's the best way to care for those animals, all the science tells us that the most important part in how you care for your animal are the people involved in where you go. And so if you look at the Association of Swine Veterinarians, AASV, and their recommendations, they'll tell you that group housing has advantages and disadvantages. Individual stalls have advantages and disadvantages. And again, it's a matter of management and it's a matter of preference as you go. Where are the trade-offs? What do you want to deal with in terms of those challenges within your barn? And what are the benefits? And so which system fits you best? A lot of folks have made the transition. Some are in the process of making the transition. Others are sticking with what they've been doing in terms of individual stalls, and they're going to stay there. And so there's not a timeline that I could tell you that everyone in Oklahoma is going to be moved out of stalls. That's just not maybe eventually we'll get there, but that's certainly not where we are today.
Right. And of course, we've got, you know, these anti-animal agriculture, modern production agriculture folks that are saying the only way to go is to go, you know, get away from crates.
Yeah, and again, that's not driven by anything that has to do with anything more than not wanting you to eat meat. I mean, if you look at every one of those groups, they always tell you the best thing you can do to help an animal is to take up a vegan lifestyle. And I just don't think that's very likely in Oklahoma. I don't think that fits the values that we have here. I think we know how we're supposed to take care of our animals. We have a commitment to do that. We have an ethical responsibility to do that. And if the best way to do that's in individual stalls, then we need to use individual stalls. If it's in group housing, then we need to use group housing. But there is a trade-off all the way around. And so you have certain issues that you deal with in individual stalls that you don't have in group housing and vice versa. And there's no one system that's perfect. If we had a perfect system, we'd be using it. Mm-hmm. And the sad challenges with that is, even if we decided tomorrow, if I could wave a magic wand and tomorrow everybody was in group housing, the same groups, the same activists that are challenging us on sow housing today would just find something else to complain about, because their ultimate goal is not about the animal. It's about us not eating meat. They actually, a week ago, 10 days ago, went to Hormel and protested how Hormel was buying hogs and the hogs they were raising. And when asked, the activist that was in Minneapolis, you know, what is it that you want Hormel to do? The answer was stop selling meat. And you know, that's what the goal is. Mm-hmm. And I know we've talked about this before, and I think people struggle to believe that there really are people out there that's their goal. But ultimately, the activists of the world, the HSUSs, the Mercy for Animals, the PETAs of the world, their goal is for us to stop eating meat. And it makes it really challenging when people say, oh, you ought to sit down and talk to them. You could sit down and work something out. When their goal is that you don't exist anymore, how do you sit down and negotiate there? And I think that's a real challenge.
Right. And, of course, the Hormel situation, that related back to the sow farm in Caddo County, the Hinton area, and, you know, The video was not pretty, but yet, you know, it was very carefully contrived by the group.
Well, I think it's very telling. We expect they spent 30-plus days on a farm shooting undercover video, and the only thing they really could show you was pigs being castrated and sows in stalls and us moving too many baby pigs at one time in a hallway. There were no examples of animal abuse. There were no examples of employees that were egregious in their treatment of animals, and every, you know, Temple Grandin looked at the video and said, you know, I don't see anything here that says this is abusive. She said, we're moving these too many at a time, and we need to move them in smaller batches. But Temple didn't find anything that she thought was egregious in terms of how we were treating animals, and so I think it's very telling that after 30 days on a farm, what they've got is a picture of sows and stalls and a picture of us castrating pigs. If we were really doing things that were abusive to animals, they'd have had it on video and they'd have shared it with someone. And I think it goes back to their message of, we want you to do away with stalls. And if we did, tomorrow they'd be talking about castration. They talked in the video about us using or failing to use any kind of pain mitigation, if you will, for castrating baby pigs. Well, the science all tells us that the best time to castrate baby pigs is when they're very small, 2 or 3 days old. That's the best time. It's less painful. They recover faster. Everything about it, that's best for the animal. And then when we talk about, okay, should we give them something to manage pain? The simple fact is there is nothing approved through USDA or FDA that we can give them to manage pain. So the very groups who want to tell us that we should be following the law and we should be managing according to what the legal precedent and all the rest of it are also standing here telling us, well, we need to be doing something that FDA doesn't allow us to do. Now, I don't know how you balance that, mm-hmm. unless you just want to admit that my goal is that you're out of business and don't exist anymore. And so that's an ongoing challenge for us. I think if we could figure out if there was something approved for pain mitigation, then we'd sure be considering how we could incorporate it and use it. But it's simply not there. And so asking us to do it is asking us to break the law.
Let's talk about poor Congress. You got it coming real quick. As far as you've kind of settled in on this particular time frame, bringing in a lot of your both farm operators, but also a lot of their workers are able to come in, and there is a good day of training, a good day of information.
Yeah, it is. We really like the program we put together because we've got folks here that come in that run sow farms. We've got folks that work on finishers. Putting together the technical side of what we do is a challenge from an educational perspective. So we try to focus more on big picture items, if you will. So we're excited to have the National Pork Board CEO, Bill Even, come in. Bill's going to give us an overview of what's happening at the pork checkoff. He's been there now for about 8 months, so he's, you know, not a new guy still, or he probably would still claim the new guy exemption for a year or something to that effect. But we're excited to have Bill come and talk about. He's been traveling all over the country talking to producers all across the United States as well as around the world about how do we move more pigs, how do we market all this pork that's coming down the line later this year. What is the checkoff doing to help producers, and what are those new things that are coming? And so we're really excited to have Bill come and share that. We'll have a representative from the National Pork Producers Council here to talk about what's happening on a policy standpoint from Washington, D.C. Frank Lucas will also join us for lunch, and he's going to give us his perspective of the changes that are coming in D.C. You're starting to hear a lot more talk about a farm bill. I'm sure we'll get a quick update from Chairman Lucas about how all that was done. And then we'll have Steve Meyer in the afternoon. Steve's kind of our keynote speaker that day, noted economist, probably knows more about the economics of the pork industry than any other economist in the country. And Steve's going to talk to us about not only about the hog markets and what's happening with pork and exports and the rest of it, but he'll talk about grains. He'll talk a little bit about chicken and beef and give us kind of an overview of the economics of the industry and how all those fit together, because they really do all fit together. Add in there are legislative updates and election of new board members and that. And it's a pretty full day. We'll have our awards banquet that night and our pack auction that evening as well. But really excited. Love the location. Really excited about the program of speakers that are coming as well. And so registration information is available on our website. And so if you're looking for it, go to okpork.org and you can find it there.